We're focusing on guns and gun regulations in this first hour of the exchange today, and we'll now expand our focus on efforts on the Oregon side. This is the domain of Ceasefire Oregon, which works to enhance the stringency of gun laws in the state and has some recent success to show for its efforts, including background checks for all gun sales as of the last legislative session. Penny Okamoto is the executive director of Ceasefire Oregon and our guest once again. Penny, welcome back to the exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
Give us a little history, if you would, on Ceasefire Oregon.
Sure. Ceasefire Oregon actually has two branches. There's the Ceasefire Oregon Education Foundation. That was founded in 1994. Most people know COEF as people who host a gun turn-in, and also through our work with Asking Saves Kids, which encourages people to ask if there's a gun where their children play. And if there is, ask the gun owner to keep it locked up and unloaded while their child is there, also focusing on work for suicide prevention. And then the other branch is Ceasefire Oregon, or CO, and we actually, that branch works for pass legislation and advocacy for strong, effective gun laws.
All right. So as usual, a lot of places do divide up into an advocacy area and a
right.
non-advocacy area. All right. Let's talk about patterns in laws. I mean, and patterns in events here, because it seems like after every event, some people say more guns and other people say more laws. And it seems like exactly that has happened in the wake of the Umpqua Community College shooting on October 1st.
That's true, but not as much as we've seen in the past. We see more and more people saying, wait a minute, this is crazy. We've got shooting after shooting at schools, malls, movie theaters. This is crazy, and we've got to do something, on the education level or on the legislative level. So, I don't even think Wayne LaPierre came out this time and said we need more guns. He might have. I don't know, but it's not that kind of pushback that we got after Sandy Hook.
You have had some success of late in Oregon. Talk about what happened, particularly in the last legislative session.
Sure. Last legislative session, we passed Senate Bill 941, which became the Oregon Firearm Safety Act. And that requires background checks for almost all gun sales. The only ones that are excluded are people from immediate family members. Having said that, though, Oregon state law also says that people cannot sell or transfer a firearm to someone they know or should know is a prohibited person. So basically, either you do a background check or you know because they're a family member that they are not a prohibited person.
Is there anything about the law as it is now existing in Oregon that might have prevented what happened specifically at Umpqua Community College?
That I don't know, because I don't know enough about how the shooter got his guns. So I would have to find out more about that. Actually, I've been waiting for more information about that, what kind of person was this? Before the shooting, were there anything that people could have said? Hey, this guy is he's not doing very well. He has access to a fair number of firearms. We're worried about him. So that I don't know just yet. My guess, however, is because he did take his firearms and he did commit this heinous crime. There are a couple things that might have been done to prevent that. One is something called a violence restraining order. This was actually instituted after the Isla Vista shooting in California, where the young man showed real signs of problems, saying he was going to shoot someone.
Is the University of California, Santa Barbara?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. His mother tried to contact the police. The police said, we can't do anything. So after this shooting, they had a violence restraining order. So people, family members can go to police and say, look, I'm really concerned about my family member. This is what's happening. And then they do have a route where they can remove the access from weapons. And the other thing, too, is we can actually have, like some other states do, actually have higher standards for gun ownership.
The violence restraining order, does that exist in Oregon at the moment?
No.
Okay. Is that something that you've approached the legislature about?
We've approached them about several things, and this is a fairly new concept. So I think that not only the legislature, but the just people in general need to be better educated about this. I believe Wisconsin actually has a law similar to this called Families No First.
All right. We're talking to Penny Okamoto, the executive director of Ceasefire Oregon, about gun laws here in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I want you to know I put my money where my mouth is already this morning.
I noticed that. Thank you.
This is a wonderful venue for free speech that does thoughtful free speech that does not exist elsewhere. Anybody else who listens to or calls into this program should do the same thing. Now, on gun control, I think I've said this before. Most of the people who are doing this are people who don't normally have access to firearms. So there's going to be things along the whole spectrum. But in most instances, these people are either getting firearms through the negligence of others or are getting firearms through active acts of commission, straw purchases, things along those lines for these people to get the firearms if they perpetrate these acts. Until we have laws that hold the person who provides the perpetrator with a firearm through either negligence or through an act of commission, holds them equally liable on penalties, this will not stop. That's my comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Thoughts from you, Penny?
Paul, thank you very much. You bring up a lot of great points, actually. We do have people who are getting their guns illegally, and we know that, that's one of the reasons why we passed Senate Bill 941 to help stop people from illegally getting firearms. Another thing that he talks about is holding those people equally liable, and that's really what Senate Bill 941 does. But another really important thing to remember is that that bill was really supported by a lot of gun owners. We know that Frank Luntz did a poll a few years ago saying that, of NRA members, stating that 74% of NRA members support, background checks for all gun sales. So we've got a small but really noisy contingent of people who are saying, we're not going to do this, it's not going to work. And gun violence prevention groups around the country, and of course within the state, know that these do work and that people actually will and do perform background checks for private sales, and they are effective.
One of the other arguments that you often hear about new laws is that we just need to enforce the existing laws on the books. To your knowledge, are there some laws that that are not getting as rigorous a use as they could or should?
Sure. when sheriffs of particular counties say that they're not going to enforce the Oregon Firearms Safety Act, when sheriffs say something like that, they might as well tell criminals, you know what, come down to our county and you can buy guns illegally. And that's just crazy. So if people want to enforce what we have, you can enforce Senate Bill 941, the Oregon Firearms Safety Act, and make sure that people do a background check. And then the other thing that Paul brought up is really key. Before, when people sold a gun, they just sold a gun. No questions asked. But now, when someone sells or transfers a firearm to someone else, that person who's doing the selling or the transferring puts his or her freedom on the line, because that person is saying, I'm going to bet everyone else's life that this person I'm transferring or selling this gun to isn't going to use it at a college shooting, at a mall shooting, to kill his wife, to kill her boyfriend. And that's just not right. So what Paul said is completely correct. It holds the seller responsible if that seller does not do a background check. And again, the vast majority of gun owners and gun sellers are completely responsible, and they want to make sure that doesn't happen. Senate Bill 941 helps them do that.
Now, the exempted zone, though, is family members, isn't it?
The law also states that you cannot sell or transfer a weapon, a firearm, to someone you know or should know is prohibited. And you should know if your child, mm-hmm. your spouse, your nephew is prohibited or not. And again, that's something that a responsible gun seller is going to do, is going to make sure, that they know the person they're transferring the gun to is not prohibited.
Right. I bring up the exemption because it seems like that was what we heard so far about the obtaining of the guns used at the Umpqua Community College shooting were guns that mom bought for son being the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's nothing within the SB 941 that would stop that from happening. You know, if there were no signs of particular trouble or a record on the part of the person who was receiving the guns.
Right. So here we get into two different things. So some people think that, you know, one gun law is a panacea. It's going to stop all gun violence. That's just not the case. Gun violence I often liken to cancer. There are a lot of different kinds of cancer. And just like there are a lot of different kinds of gun violence, there's domestic violence, there's school shootings, there's suicide. So just like one drug doesn't cure all cancers, one law is not going to eradicate all gun violence. That's just not going to happen. So SB 941, I don't know if it would have made a difference in this particular shooting or not. We do know that overall it does reduce gun violence. But another issue, too, is that I don't know enough about the shooter to know if he would have been prohibited if we had higher standards of gun ownership. And so this is something that Ceasefire Oregon is very interested in and that we are actually talking to legislators and talking to people about. For example, a few states actually have higher standards of gun ownership. That would be like New York, for example, Delaware. And so let me back up just a second. So in the same way that when people are driving cars, if you have, I think it's 3 moving violations within a certain number of years, then that driver can lose his or her license for a period of time. What we would like to see is a prohibition of gun ownership for 10 years if a person has multiple offenses involving misdemeanor violence, alcohol or drug abuse, domestic violence restraining order, or a serious juvenile offense. And that, I don't know if the UCC shooter had those in his background or not. But if we had higher standards, that might be one way that we can stop people from going on to commit crimes. Because we know people who have these offenses, misdemeanor violence, drug or alcohol abuse, domestic violence, a serious juvenile offense or a stalking offense, we know that they are more likely to go on to commit additional violence.
All right, so I see the point. So it's not just felon in possession of a firearm. It's
right.
It's multiple misdemeanors in possession of a firearm becoming an issue too.
Right, and again, it's same concept of if you know you're having several moving violations or DUI or something like that. When you're driving, then you need to have your driving privileges taken away, and you know, and you need to get your life together a little bit. So same thing, you need to put your gun rights on hold and get your life together for 10 years and make sure that you're not going to be a violent offender.
Penny Okamoto, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director at Ceasefire Oregon. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. When I look at gun laws as they are passed, they address things that happen from this day forward. In other words, gun transfers and sales from this day forward. It seems like the hue and cry always comes out of any discussion of proposed gun legislation along the lines of they want to take away our guns. Is there anything in your suite of stuff that would remove guns that are currently in somebody's possession?
Yes, actually, we would like to ban high-capacity magazines. So most laws say anything that holds more than 10 bullets. We would like to say more than 6 bullets. And we have, you know, basically, if you're going to go hunting and you can only have up to 5 bullets if you're hunting large game, then why should you be able to have more than that when you're dealing with people? So high-capacity magazines, absolutely, we want to get rid of, and we would like to reinstate the assault weapons ban. So we don't have guns like AK-47s and the Bushmaster AR-15 that was used at the Sandy Hook shooting. But hunting, you know, the hunting rifles, we don't want to ban those. The regular handguns, we don't want to ban those. We don't even talk about that. That's not at all what we're interested in.
It often seems, too, though, Penny, that you're up against a situation where mention of new laws produces the opposite of the intended effect. Just the election of Barack Obama produced a surge in gun sales, and I noticed that over the course of his first term, about 20% of the estimated total of guns now in possession were bought during that time.
Yeah, I had to chuckle a little bit because it's not the election of Barack Obama. It's the fact that the National Rifle Association and gun lobbies throughout the country use that as a scare tactic to increase gun sales. Because you have to remember, the National Rifle Association doesn't give a fig about protection they're no longer concerned about firearm safety and safety and protection of the actual gun owner. They're concerned about selling as many guns as possible. In the United States, we have at least 300 million guns. So we have probably a gun for every man, woman, and child. Not quite, but just about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is seen by any lobby as a saturated market. So they need any excuse to increase sales, whether it's a Democrat in the White House, whether it's the assault weapons ban. You know, we got to get rid of the assault. They wanted the assault weapons ban to expire, which it did, so they can sell more assault weapons. And we want to have, but the NRA wanted to increase concealed carry laws so people could buy new, smaller guns that they could carry concealed. So this is really all about selling guns. This has nothing to do, the NRA has nothing to do with protecting gun rights. They have everything to do with protecting gun sales. They have perverted the Second Amendment and turned it into a marketing tool, and shame on them for doing so.
We have an email from V. Handel in Medford who writes, "It troubles me that today's thoughts about these mass shootings considers the perpetrators as sick individuals instead of criminals or even terrorists. They should be treated as criminals and prosecuted to the full extent of the law and either executed or imprisoned for life. I truly believe that would give pause to many who might perpetrate such atrocities." Well, you know, but then again, often they end up dead before the incident is even over themselves. A final question for you, Penny, before we go. What kinds of regulations would you like to see on storage of firearms?
We very much want to see additional regulation on storage arms. And this actually dates back to the Clackamas Town Center shooting, where the person who provided the weapons had the weapons in his apartment unlocked, and that's how the firearm was taken. So, again, the vast majority of gun owners keep their weapons secured. They keep them locked up, they keep them unloaded, or they keep them secure on their person. And we would very much like to see regulations stating that if people are careless about the storage of their firearms and someone accesses their firearms, that person needs to be held liable. Now, that's not stating that if you have firearms in your home and your home is locked up and someone breaks in, you're going to be liable. That's a different situation.
All right. Well, lots more legislation to be considered and lots more discussions about it. Penny Okamoto is the executive director of Ceasefire Oregon. We will visit again. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Take care.